answer about that. So I'm Dries Nicolaas. Probably my name sounds unfamiliar to you, but I'm a first year PhD student. I'm employed at the Royal Observatory of Belgium, and I'm working on the stellar environments of HGB stars under the supervision of Martin Groenewegen and Lene Sin. And my first project is about the Paxenspire spectroscopic view on the dusty winds of HGB stars, but also active contributions from Pierre Royer and Robin Lombard. So this picture gives a more artistic view on the generally accepted Maslow's scheme. And all these different little pictures actually represents the links of the Maslow's chain, and each link has its own specialist studying them. But I think the main and big overall challenge is to figure out how these different links are connected to each other and how the relationships between these different links are. Like Bowen described, the two main ingredients for Maslow's on the HGB are pulsations to lift the stellar atmospheres to a higher level so dust can form, and radiation pressure on the dust grains to drive the stellar wind. The relation between these two ingredients, pulsations and acceleration of pressure to accelerate the dust grains, of course, it sounds logical that they depend on stellar properties like luminosity, chemical composition, effective temperature, but the link between the stellar properties and the wind properties is not fully described yet, so there is still some information lacking. So this opens perspectives for new research, and my research will focus on the Paxenspire Herschel instruments, which provide spectroscopic data for a large and broad wavelength range in infrared. And this outstanding data set contains much molecular lines. And that's why there are several papers, successful papers written yet about the gaseous component of the wind. But these spectra also contain dust continuum information, and there is not yet been a big survey about this. And although this continuum, this traces the cool dust grains by which we can constrain better dust properties like chemical composition, size, and shape, and also better approximate the dust density distribution going to variable Maslow's and multiple shells. So what I will do is a sample study of HGB stars. And in the sample, there will be stars with different evolutionary stages in evolutionary stages and different stellar properties, so that we can have a global statistical view on the wind properties versus the stellar properties. So the sample's construction is mainly based on the mass sample, the Maslow's of evolved stars, guaranteed time key program, by which we obtained 25 targets with a PAX spectrum available, and among them also 11 were observed by the Spire spectrometer. And my sample is further completed by spectra from the program of Barlow, Justanont, Camille, and the filler program of Herschel. Also, a lot of photometric maps are available, mainly for the targets in the mass sample, but also for the OHIR sources, because they are mainly found near the galactic plane, so we could profit from the HIGAL program, which is a photometric program of the galaxy, to obtain PAX and parallel mode photometry for them. So in total, my sample consists of 38 stars, among them 26 M-type stars, of which 6 OHIR sources, 9 C-type stars, and 3 S-type stars. We put a lot of effort in checking the quality of the data and doing the post-processing of the spectra. And for example, OHIR sources show a quite unnatural behavior for the spire spectra. That's because of the bright and extended background in the galactic plane. So what did we do? We could estimate the background by the off-source detectors and then subtract this from the central on-source detector to obtain a corrected spectrum which fits nicely to the PAC spectrum and is in agreement with the photometry. Also, I already told that molecular lines contain a wealth of information about the intermediate and outer gaseous envelope, but they are cumbersome when doing dust analysis, and that's why we try to clip the most strong lines from the spectrum. So these lines are unresolved lines, so they have this typical Gaussian instrumental profile. So just by doing simple Gaussian line model fit, we can subtract the lines from the spectrum. And a nice extra is that we also get the line strengths of these lines. To obtain a line pore spectrum, which is more suitable for doing dust analysis. So the real dust analysis will be performed by doing radiative transfer modeling by fitting SEDs, by fitting the continuum and the spectral features. So we collect all available photometry, the ISO shortwave spectrum, and then adding PAX and Spire spectrum gives us an SED which covers a very broad range in wavelengths. And also an extra when photometric maps are available, the intensity profiles can be constructed. And this can be a second addition to the fit of the radiative transfer modeling. We will use the model More of Dusty, which is a slightly adapted version of the Dusty code to do the analysis. So let's look now at an example for the OHIR source OH26.5. This is a very well-studied object. I will list here a few references. And these studies agreed that this star must have suffered from a very recent but very heavy mass loss, obscuring the central object by a thick but spatially small envelope. And Chesneau et al. Predicted by mid-infrared interferometry a full half max of this shell of around 0.28 arc seconds. So now I just plotted there two SED models on top of it. The SED models have the same input parameters except for the outer radius of this dust shell. The magenta model here an outer radius of 200 arc seconds is adopted, so a large outer radius. For the green model, we adopted a small radius of about 0.6 arc seconds, which is of the same order as what Chesneau et al. Found. So here you can see that to decode this information about the dust density distribution, about the outer radius of the dust shell, we really need this far infrared information. And this far infrared information is thus nicely given by PAX and Spire spectroscopy for a broad range of wavelengths, and also thus for the whole sample of stars. So to summarize my talk, we built quite a unique sample of PAX and Spire spectroscopy for 38 targets. And by doing radiative transfer modeling of the SED and the intensity profiles, we can get constraints on the globular properties of the wind, especially the intermediate and outer wind. But to get a more complete view of the whole circumstellar environment, we need to do observations at more spatial scales. and this will be the next logical step to do for a more smaller selection of targets, a more studies on more spatial scales. For example, adding VLTI MIDI interferometry, by which we can trace really the inner region of the stellar wind where the dust is formed and the wind is accelerated, and also by adding ALMA interferometry, which has high spatial and high velocity resolutions, by which we can obtain even a more complete view. So by observing these targets at various spatial scales, we can get information on different regions of the wind and different regions of the circumstellar environment. And this will make it possible to gain more insights in the relationship between the central star and the inner part of the shell where dust is formed and the wind is accelerated, and then the more outer parts of the circumstellar environment. I also have got a poster. I had to tell you this. So if you want to have another look at it when passing by, you can do it. So yeah, thank you for your attention.
Questions? Sophia.
So could you say which are your free parameters in your fitting? Because traditionally with Dusty you have like the optical depth, the stellar temperature, mm-hmm. and the dust temperature at the inner boundary or something like this. But you said that you also, do you also vary the outer radius?
Well, the example that I showed actually isn't yet a fit. It was just to illustrate how the information in the far infrared can be important. So actually this, for I took all the parameters fixed and I build up on the studies that I showed there. So it was just an illustration.
Jesus?
Are you able to identify all the lines in your spectra? Do you see any weird lines or molecules or?
Well, certainly not, I think. And that this is for the moment also not part of the part of that I'm currently working on. So the main thing now is that I'm preparing these, that I have prepared these spectra to do dust continuum fitting by clipping the lines. And then afterwards, yeah, they can be or hopefully a lot of lines can be identified to, because it can be helpful to, for example, get isotopic ratios or something like that.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the sample selection of your 36 targets? Do they have anything in common? You said you are using 36 stars. Do they have anything in common that you can tell in few words?
The thing that they have in common is that they are just AGB stars which have an available pack spectrum. So the thing is that we wanted to profit from the fact that they have this nice information in the infrared, but also having a large sample, because then this sample contains stars of different evolutionary stages.
So you cover different evolutionary stages, mm-hmm. and different masses probably too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For your magenta model, are you taking into account the heating by the interstellar radiation field?
Excuse me, can you repeat that, please?
For the magenta model, are you taking into account the heating of dust by the interstellar radiation field?
No. This is not included in a dusty coat. No.
It should be. It might be important at in the submillimeter range.
Excuse me.
It might be an important effect in the submillimeter mm-hmm. range. Mm-hmm.
Last question.
Could you comment a little bit about the geometry? You use 1D model for the simulations, so it can be non-symmetrical. So have you any hints of asymmetries in your data? Or?
Yeah, of course. It's that this you have to weigh it up against each other using 1D simple model. Perhaps this probably this asks a bit less time to perform this, because this is a sample study of 38 stars. It's a lot of work to do. So it's yeah, balancing between doing a simple model fit of a 1D model fit and a 3D model fit. So actually this was also an idea of us, that maybe we can look what the different models say, 1D or 3D, but then this has to fit in the time schedule. So it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Okay, let's thank Dries again.